Join me this morning as we read the text. And I want you to please rise to your feet. We're going to take the text this morning from Matthew chapter 4, from verse 1 to 11. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. In other words, very hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." Verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Verse 7, Jesus saith unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus saith unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may please be seated. Thank you very much. We started over the summer a sermon series on the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And we have talked about quite a few of them. But today we're taking a quick break. And if the Lord permits, we will get back to it shortly. Today I'm going to start probably a two-part series on what I have titled Temptation. Somebody say temptation. So last week we talked about the parable of the leaven. And in that parable, what we took time to do was to focus on the leaven of the Pharisee. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, that the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. One of the video clips we play to welcome people to church, it says, "The reason I don't go to church is because the church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites." And in that video clip, it says that there is room for one more. Praise the Lord. A hypocrite is someone that projects himself to be something he's not. Someone that pretends to be what they are not. That is a hypocrite. And also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we saw that a leaven can also be likened to malice and wickedness. So we talked about three things last week: hypocrisy, malice, and wickedness. So today we're talking about temptation today. I want to tell you today that as we start this sermon series, that nobody is exempt from temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." It's saying there is no temptation that you will ever experience that is only peculiar to you. You know, some people would like to believe that their problem is the biggest problem in the world. Say, "You don't know what I am going through. You don't know what they are doing to me." Somebody is always saying that, "Oh, all the ladies, they are always seducing me. I don't know what such individuals think they are or who they think they are." You know, they stored in the block that every woman wants. Friends, there is no temptation that you are faced with today that is not common to man. Amen. It says that every temptation that you will ever experience is common to man. Temptation is a common factor in every life. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you that some people have already been tempted this morning. In fact, some people were tempted in church. Praise the Lord. So temptation is common. It's common. But the scripture continues, it says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. So God allows temptations in our lives because he knows he has given us the wherewithal to deal with and handle every temptation we are faced with. So I don't know what is tempting you or what you are tempted by today. And you are almost threatening God that, God, I will do it. I will just do it. Don't threaten anybody. Don't threaten yourself. Whatever it is you are faced with, the Bible says you have been well equipped to overcome that temptation. And it continues to read. It says, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. So even though you might not be able to handle that temptation, it's saying even in that temptation, God will make a way of escape for you. Praise the Lord. So enough of all the excuses. But today, all we are doing today is introduction. And then next week, we begin to build on it gradually. The scripture that we have read simply tells us that temptation is common to everybody. There is no one that is immune to temptation. We face temptations daily, on a daily basis. The text that we read today was telling us about Jesus. It said Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So if Jesus was tempted, guess what? You will be tempted. I will be tempted. Praise the Lord. So there's no point in saying, oh, maybe this. No. Everybody is exposed to temptation. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points. Somebody say all points. It means in every area he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. If you have your own Bible, I want you to underline that. Yet without sin. Because that is very important as we continue in this conversation about temptation. Jesus, after the temptation in the wilderness and the devil did all of those things and questioned him and queried him and did everything that we have read, the Bible went on to tell us that even towards the end of the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy did not leave him alone. As a matter of fact, if you read the same text in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says at the end of the temptation that the devil left him for an opportune time, for a while. Yeah, some other translations say for an opportune time. You see, the thing with the devil is if he tempts you today, you don't fall. He will wait for you another time. Because he knows that today you are strong, so you are able to hold it together. And he'll be watching out for when you are weak. That is why it is a dangerous thing as for you as a believer to want to be a lone wolf and just go through this journey of life all by yourself. In the Bible, in the Sunday school this morning, we were told that it is important for us to be in community amongst brethren so that when you are about to fall, somebody can catch you and say, bro, you can't do that. No, that is not acceptable. That is unlike God. You cannot give in. You cannot succumb to that temptation. Somebody say amen. The Lord will uphold you. You will not fall. You will stand and you will finish well in the mighty name of Jesus. Temptation is no respecter of persons. Towards the end of the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse 39, that he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What do you think Jesus was doing? He was considering the idea of not going to the cross. The enemy was there tempting him, but he was able to catch himself quickly. He said, but not my will. Thy will be done. Praise the Lord. So if Jesus was tempted, the enemy, the devil, Satan, he did not respect Jesus, the anointed one. He tempted him. And guess what? He did not tempt him even when he was weak. He tempted him even when he was very strong. The Bible says, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and praying. Can you imagine? When you have fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and you are prayed up, you feel like you are flying upon the wings of the air. That's how you feel. You feel, bring the devil, I will kill them. That's how you feel. You feel so emboldened because you have spent time in God's presence. But Satan did not, he didn't mind that. He ignored it totally. He came and he tempted him in that state of strength. So it does not matter where you are in your journey with God. Whether you are strong, he will tempt you. Whether you are weak, he will tempt you. Whether you are a man, he will tempt you. A woman, he will tempt you. Boy, girl, gender doesn't matter to him. Age does not matter to him. It tempts little children. Amen? It tempts little children. You tell them, no TV on a school night. But trust me, as they are doing their homework, they are scheming. They are wondering, where is daddy, where is mommy? You know, if I can get away with it, I will do this thing. Amen? You know, a lot of us, the reason we don't do certain things is because, you know, if you get caught, the consequence is high. You know, you are driving on the freeway, you are going above the speed limit. Instead of looking forward, you are looking backward. You are looking at the right side mirror, the left side mirror, the back view mirror. You are just looking at the police coming so that you can speed as much as you want. Praise the Lord. The fear of consequence is what is keeping a lot of people out of trouble. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, Richard Exley, he said, given the right circumstances, the best among us is capable of the most unimaginable sins. Given the right circumstances. You know, thank God you were brought up in the Christian way. Thank God you have all the values that God has instilled in you. But if all the circumstances were right for you as it was with the other people, you probably would do worse. Because given all these circumstances that you have, knowing what you know, we still fall to temptation. Can you imagine if you don't know what you know, what you would have done? So my question this morning is, what then is temptation? What then is temptation? In answering the question, I would like to read an excerpt from Chuck Swindoll's book titled Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. Do you have the slide? Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. Please put up the PowerPoint slide. It's a letting go of sin. That's supposed to be a ring-tailed monkey. And holding a watermelon. Next slide, please. Say, men who trap animals in Africa for zoos in America say that one of the hardest animals to catch is the ring-tailed monkey. For the Zulus of that continent, however, it's simple. It's not hard for them to catch this monkey. They've been catching this agile little animal with ease for years. The method the Zulus use is based on knowledge of the animal. Their trap is nothing more than a melon growing in a vine. Next slide, please. The seeds of this melon are a favorite of the monkey. Knowing this, the Zulus simply cut a hole in the melon. Okay. They simply cut a hole in the melon, just large enough for the monkey to insert his hand to reach the seeds inside. The monkey will stick his hand in, grab as many seeds as he can, then start to withdraw it, that is, his hand. This he cannot do. His fist is now larger than the hole. Next slide, please. The monkey will pull and tug screech and fight the melon for hours, but he can't get free of the trap unless he gives up the seeds, which he refuses to do. Meanwhile, the Zulu sneak up and nab him. Praise the Lord. So the huge watermelon, they make a tiny hole in it, enough for the monkey to stick his hand. So he sticks his hand, he grabs onto the seed, and he wants to pull his hand out, but he cannot. There are some people that actually believe that since monkeys are the next to us, you know, that they are very intelligent. There was an individual that I had to respond to his email, and I was saying that it is not so, sir. Praise the Lord. Because if it were so, the monkey should know that the reason he can't take out his hand is because his fist is clenched inside the thing. If he will only let go of the seed, he will be able to take out his hand. You see, this is what temptation does to us. Because the people that are catching the monkeys, they know what the monkey likes. Friends, the enemy will never tempt you with what you don't like. I can almost guarantee that nobody here will be tempted with picking something off the shelf at Walmart. It won't tempt you with that. So you now go to Walmart and say, steal the deodorant. You say, are you crazy? In fact, if he dares to speak to you in an audible voice, you will respond to him and everybody will think maybe you yourself, you are crazy. You know, the enemy, Satan is suggesting to you to say, pick the box of cereal. So are you crazy? There's nothing else for you to tempt me with than cereal or say, steal the pack of Marlboro. That's a cigarette, for those of you that don't know. He says, steal the Marlboro. It will not tempt you with what you don't like. The reason many people are trapped in the situations they are trapped today is because of the lust that they have in their hearts. So the enemy knows exactly what you want, and as long as you are holding on to it, you are trapped. You can't come out of it. But the Lord will set you free today. I said the Lord will set you free today in the name of Jesus. So what is temptation? The dictionary defines temptation as a desire to perform an action that one may enjoy immediately or in the short term, but will probably later regret for various reasons. A temptation is a desire to perform an action that one may enjoy immediately or in the short term, but will probably later regret for various reasons. And, you know, just from meditating on this and thinking on this, I came up with an abridged version, an abridged definition for myself. And I simply say, I define temptation as enticement to do the right thing the wrong way. Temptation is an enticement for you to do the right thing, but the wrong way. Listen, the monkey that is being tempted, what does he want? Food. He has the food in his hand, but he can't get his hand out of the melon. But he wouldn't let go of what is in his hand, therefore he gets caught. Listen to me. If a student, for example, has the goal of succeeding in their coursework, and success, it means passing examinations. Amen? That's a good goal. That's the right thing. As a student, you must determine to pass and do very well in your academic work. But if I now choose as a student to cheat, to pass, that is a temptation that you don't want to fall into. That is a shortcut. You want to take a shortcut to success. And that is what temptation is. Temptation is an enticement for you to do the right thing, but the wrong way. For example, there are men and women, married and unmarried, that are having sexual intercourse outside of marriage. God himself ordained that to be between a man and a woman. So that pleasure, God himself put the desire in our hearts. It was planted by God. It is not an animalistic instinct. It's an instinct planted by God himself. But guess what? You want to do the right thing, but you are doing it the wrong way. Or a man or a woman that wants to get married. The Bible says very clearly, it says you must not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. But because you must be married at all costs, guess what? You say, well, this is the only one that is smiling and giggling at me. So I just go for this one. Friends, I can tell you that I know how it feels to be getting old and not be married. I was laughed at. My pastor, I mean, he loved me. There was no doubt he loved me, but he will always pick on me. Because back then, I was one of the big boys that was not married yet. You know, and I was a lecturer at the premier university in Nigeria. He would taunt me and say, you know, Koye, if you can't talk to the girls, we can help you talk to them. I'm like, I can talk to them. But unfortunately for me, the ones I liked didn't like me. The ones I didn't like were cooking for me. I ate their food. I didn't give them face. Praise the Lord. But friends, this was amongst believers. This was amongst believers. But there are many people today that are beginning to compromise their faith because of desperation. Marriage is a good thing, but to get married against the word of God, against the will and wishes of the Bible, it is wrong. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord now. Are you still with me or you are upset now? I'm speaking too much truth. Prosperity is a good thing. Prosperity is a good thing. But when you have to cheat to prosper, it is a bad thing. In fact, in Psalm 35, the Bible says God delights in the prosperity of his servants. So as far as prosperity goes, God wants you and I to prosper. But if you have to cheat to prosper, then you are not glorifying God. You are tempted. You get to work late. But because everybody clocks in earlier than they came, you too, you go ahead and do that. You have just fallen into temptation. You got to work. You're supposed to clock in at 7. You got there at 8 o'clock, but you still clocked in 6:45. How they do it, I don't know. But I've had reports that they do that. Or maybe you write it down, you punch something. How do you do it? How can you lie with an electronic device? Huh? They mispunch the forms. Yeah. I really don't care to read it, but it helps me to be able to preach to you. But I know, I've heard it said, that people, they sign in for when they didn't get there. In fact, some people, they have arrangements that they leave their cards for others to swipe them in before they arrive there. Yeah, that's the one somebody told me. So people, they leave their cards around that. When you get there, please swipe me in. But you are not really there. You are not really there. It means you are desiring what you don't deserve. You want to be paid for time that you have not worked. That is not honoring for the Lord. No wonder many people don't believe this gospel anymore. Because after you have given them the card to swipe you in when you were not there, then you begin to preach Jesus to them. They are looking at you strangely. What's different between you and I? There's no difference between us. Why should I listen to what you have to say? You and I are the same thing. We're in the same boat. We both lie. We both cheat. You know, we both don't do the job. We pretend when the boss is there that we are working. When he's gone, we chit-chat. And we do nothing. And at the end of the day, we give a false report. Praise the Lord. Friends, temptation is an enticement for you to do the right thing, but the wrong way. It is my prayer that the Lord God Almighty, it will empower us and enable us to live a life that glorifies and honors him in the name of Jesus. Temptation is so serious that Jesus included a prayer for temptation in the Lord's Prayer. The Bible tells us that the disciples went to meet Jesus. They said, Master, teach us to pray. And in teaching them to pray, he threw this in. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 6 verse 13. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Friends, temptation is a serious matter. Temptation, if not handled correctly, can lead a person into serious problems. Serious problems. I would like to make a few bold statements, and I will close this morning so we can go into Thanksgiving. Number one, God is too holy to be tempted. You can't tempt God. And he is too loving to tempt anybody. Therefore, you can conclude, if those two things are true, if God is too holy to be tempted and is too loving to tempt anybody, you can conclude that God is not the tempter. So whenever you are being tempted, that is not God tempting you. Say, oh, maybe God is tempting me. God is not tempting you. God, look at your neighbor. Say, God is not the tempter. God does not tempt anybody with evil. Have you heard people say things like, in fact, there was an illustration I was reading, but because the time is short today, I didn't want to put together those illustrations. There was an illustration I was reading of a lady that was not married, involved with a guy, you know, both of them, I think, were supposedly believers, you know, and then she gets pregnant. Listen to this. And this is her statement. God, how could you have allowed this to happen? Ah! What is the responsibility of God in your fornication? He said, how could God have allowed this to happen? Oh, so you were having... Oh, we have children here today. Okay. But you know what I'm talking about. He said, how could you have allowed this to happen? I have something to say, but it's not appropriate for you right now. So God is not the tempter. James chapter 1, 13 and 14. James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14. Next week we'll be looking at the anatomy of temptation, how temptation comes about and how people fall into temptation. And then we'll look for the ways out and how to deal with it. But listen to this. Verse 14. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Listen to me, God is not the author of temptation. Know that today. So when anything is shaking you and pushing you and making you want to do something that you know is wrong, know that the enemy is working overtime upon your life. And that is a good time for you to begin to pray and make your confessions. And that's a good time for you to begin to ask for help. Talk to somebody. This is what I'm thinking in my mind. This is what I'm planning on doing. I know it's wrong, but I really would like to do it. Maybe they can join hands with you and pray with you. Praise the Lord. So number one thing you must know is God is not the tempter. Number two thing I want you to know as we lay this foundation, and I'm rounding up now, is temptation, listen to this, temptation in itself is not a sin. The fact that you are tempted does not mean you have committed sin. In fact, the fact that you are being tempted does not make you unholy. Neither does it make you unrighteous. Otherwise, what would we say of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The Bible says after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, preparing for his 3.5 ministry here on earth, 3 years ministry here on earth, the Bible says he was tempted. And in Hebrews 4 and verse 15 that we have read earlier on, the Bible said he was tested, he was tempted in all things. He was tempted in all things, yet without sin. So it is possible for me to be tempted and not fall into sin. So the temptation is not the sin. What you do with the temptation is what determines whether you fall into sin or not. I used to know a gentleman many years ago. This was around 1992 or so. He's from India. So this, my friend would tell me, he says, son, I'm, you know, trying to preach to him that he should accept Christ and things. So he is always telling me how good a person he is, and he has found out ways and strategies to not do any bad things. So he tells me, he says, Sonny, no, Koi, whatever he called me. So he will call me and say, look, he said, the first look is the sin. No, it's not a sin. He said, the first look is not a sin. He said, the second look is when you commit sin. So when you know how the Bible says when a man looks lustfully at a woman, he has already committed adultery with her. He says, so the first look is an innocent look. The second look is when you begin to lust. He says, so what he does is he takes a long first look. So he won't have to look a second time. It takes a long first look. Friends, we can deceive ourselves and lie to ourselves as much as we want, but the righteous judge knows all things, and we cannot hide from him. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we know that in spite of all the temptations of Jesus, there was no sin found in him. So number one thing you must know, God is not the tempter. Number two thing you must take home today, the fact that you are being tempted does not make you unrighteous. In fact, sometimes that temptation itself, when you pass, brings about your promotion. So the reason it's coming along your way is because you have to be proven. And now that God has proven you, then you are ready for the next level. The Lord will take us higher in the mighty name of Jesus. The one other thing I would like for you to take home today, listen to this. Listen to this. When you look at our text today, Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says, and the enemy came. Satan came to Jesus to tempt him. Right? And the first thing he says to him, Matthew 4, 3. He says, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, turn stone to bread. Listen. At the heart of every temptation, listen close to this. This will help you out a great deal. At the heart of every temptation is an identity crisis. When I was young, when I was younger, because I'm still young. When I was younger, you know, they would say, if you're a man, take this and drink it. And you too, you want to prove yourself that you're a man. So you take it and you drink it. How does drinking a shot of brandy make you a man? Can anybody explain to me? How does that affect your hormones? How does that affect your reproductive parts and make you a man by drinking a shot of brandy? They say, oh, if you're a man, if you know you are a man, I know you are a sissy, you are not a man. If you're a man, take pot and smoke. How does that make you a man? There are women that smoke pot. Am I lying? No. So if you know you're a man, take it and smoke it. So you to you. I'm a man. Foolishness. Foolishness. And twice he asked him. In Matthew 4, 6, he asked him the same question. He said, if thou be the Son of God, the enemy will always question who you are in Christ Jesus. But it is important for you and I to know who we are in Christ Jesus. It is important for you to know that Christ already paid for all of my sins, Isaac. I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I have been saved, washed, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And I ain't going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to what am I going back to? What? At least for me, there's nothing for me to go back to. I've been there, done that. It is not worth nothing. It's not worth nothing. It's just heartache, heart worry, and then you have to cover up. You have to make sure nobody knows. You have to make sure nobody sees. And then you are hiding, you are lying, you are suspicious. Somebody is looking at you, maybe they know. The way he's looking at me, I think he found out. I think she knows. Nobody cares. In fact, they have enough worries in their life to worry about you. For real. But in spite of everything that you have done that is biting you, you are not having to worry about other people looking at you. They don't care. Believe me, they really don't. You know, we're encouraging them to care. That we less care for one another, let's love one another. But you see somebody sitting down looking at you, they are looking past you. Say, he's looking at me. He's looking through you. And he's looking to the other. He can't see. It's like you are not sitting there. Praise the Lord. So it is important. If you are going to survive temptation, you must know who you are in Christ Jesus. You will notice each time. Read the scripture again. Each time Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, do such and such. Jesus never proved anything to him because he did not have to. He never answered his question. Because it was a question, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. He didn't respond to that. He gave him scriptures and dealt with him and ignored him. Praise the Lord. I want you to rise to your feet this morning. Friends, our scripture for the month of September is Isaiah 40, 31. We have read that. But 29 and 30, please listen to this. 29 and 30. It says, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait. You see, but he said, you know what? If you do this, is going to be a different outcome for you. Friends, this morning you're here with every head bowed, every eye closed. Please do not disregard everybody. Remember what I told you. You think they are looking at you? They are worried about themselves already. You know that you are struggling with temptation. I'm not saying you are falling into sin. Perhaps you are falling into sin. Either way it affects you, you know you need help. Just come out very quickly. I want the ministers to please come out. We're going to pray with you. The Bible says, listen to this. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. God will increase your strength today. God will give you the power to overcome every temptation that you may be fighting with and struggling with today. In the mighty name of Jesus, please ignore completely anybody around you. Forget about anybody. You know you have challenges. You know you need help. You know that this temptation, if nothing happens, you will fall. Or maybe you have already fallen. Come forward and prayers will be said for you. Please go ahead and pray with them as they come forward. Pray for them. Pray for them. Anybody else? You say, Pastor, if I tell you my story is unbelievable, that's okay. God knows. The one that needs to know, he knows already. And that is why he has raised ministers unto himself for your sake. In the name of Jesus, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, arise, O God, give power to your children. They might be fainting right now, but Lord, you can revive them, O God. For the rest of us, please stretch forth your hands towards them that the Lord will strengthen them, that the Lord will uphold them, that the Lord will give them power to overcome every temptation in the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Every enticement, I break its hold upon your life in the name of Jesus. You are set free. You are set loose in the name of Jesus. It is well with you in the name of Jesus. To them that have no might, he gives strength. The Lord will strengthen you in the name of Jesus, above every wiles of the enemy, in the name of Jesus. Receive might, receive power, the power to overcome, the power to conquer, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Brethren, I tell you the truth today, and I lie not. There's a class I teach, the membership class. And there's a story I always tell them. For me, it is very important that the people that are over me, at least to me, it's very important to me that they know where I'm standing. You know why? So they can pray appropriately for me. A few years back, everything in my life happened between the year 1990 and 94. Those were turning point years for me. I will go to my pastors and I'll go report myself. In fact, it felt very inconvenient and uncomfortable for me that they called me Brother Koye. Oh, Brother Koye. I was in the choir. I was in prayer. I was in this. I was in that. But I was living a double life. So one day I called the pastor. I said, sir, I need to talk to you, sir. Because the thing was biting me and eating me up. And I told him, I said, I'm really not that person. And I told him a little bit about myself. He dropped his head. I guess quickly he realized that that is not helpful. So he lifted up his head again. And he began to counsel with me. And I overcame. But not for long. 2 years later, I was in a worse state than I was before. This time, I didn't speak to the assistant pastor. I spoke to the senior pastor. I spoke to the co-pastor. And I spoke to the assistant pastor. I sat all three of them down and I told them. By the time I was done talking to them, friends, the senior pastor was like, so why are you telling us these things? It was pretty much like, if you have made up your mind to do evil, just keep your evil to yourself and don't spread this canker one. But it was important for me that they know. Because when they know and they think about me, they will say, ah, this Brother Koye that we thought was all that, that is not. Father, in the name of Jesus, please help him. The worst thing you can do to yourself is to live a life of make-believe. In the church, we will all carry you and say, oh, brother such and such, sister such and such. But brother such and such going where? Sister such and such going where? Because the determinant of our destination in eternity is not the church, is not the pastor, is the Lord Jesus. And guess what? What you are in church, at home, in school, in the dark, in the broad daylight, he knows everything. And that's the final judge. With every head bowed, Friends, we need to make up our minds. Be real with yourself. The Pharisees were highly honored, but Jesus said that they were whitewashed sepulchres, looking white and beautiful outside, but rotten inside. Filled with dead bones, no life within them, but glorified on the outside. Friends, you need to make up with God. Please make up with God. I beseech you by the mercies of God. Stop worrying about what people will think about you. They are dealing with their own life issues. I believe that there is still a few more people that should have come out but held back. Maybe you are ashamed. But I want to make an altar call right now. You want to accept Jesus. If Jesus comes today, you know you can't make it to heaven. But you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Please come forward very quickly. Or you say, you know what? I need to rededicate my life. I have done things I'm not proud of. I don't know if the Lord will accept me as I am right now. I've told you my story. You have your own story. You want to rededicate your life or you want to accept Jesus? Please come forward very quickly. We're going to go ahead with the rest of the service. Anybody? Amen. Father, we thank you. Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory. Lord, you give power to the faint. And those that have no might, you give strength. Lord, empower us that sin will not have dominion over us. In the name of Jesus. That we may live lives that honor and glorify you in the name of Jesus. Whether in the dark, in the open, in the light, wherever we are, may our lives honor you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen. Amen.